Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2023 Honda Classic, the last year of the Honda Classic. But we'll get to that and much, much more. But before we do that, you can find myself on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Always Press DFS. My co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Another fun Monday in the books for us here to talk a little golf, recap the weekend, recap some Netflix fun, recap all the live drop. We could spend more time recapping things and talking about the Honda Classic if we really wanted.
Probably going to be more interesting as well.
Yes, 100% agree. So let's just start with the one that's most present to many. Tiger made it four rounds, Jesse, and he's talking about playing more depending on how he recovers still. He said that before. I'd love to know how he feels right now on a Monday. But he outdid my expectations. I didn't expect him to obviously win. I was just shocked he made it through four rounds and didn't look completely beat up like he had in the past.
Yeah, he played well on Saturday. Didn't play very well on Friday. Didn't play very well on Sunday. I mean, at least I'm sure to his standards. But there was some flashes there. Man, it's a struggle for him to get around still, and that's just fucking hard to watch.
Yeah, you could see the kind of, especially towards the end of rounds, you notice him with the club in his hand using it as the cane more as he'd walk up the fairway.
Yeah,
which I don't care what he has to do to play golf, but he talked about it even after Thursday's round. It's like, okay, I got to go back to the hotel. It's ice, heat, maybe some sleep. I'm like, that sounds miserable.
I bet he's wore out today.
Oh yeah, and his best two rounds were Thursday and Saturday, like you said, and those were more afternoon tee times. His early tee times, he like the bounce back time. Looked like really got to him, to say the least. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. It was great to have him out there.
Do you think he plays the Players next? Do you think that's the next tournament he plays in? Or?
That's the one I would assume. That's what, 3 weeks from now, basically? Three tournaments from now. He said if he can bounce back, he wants to play at least one more tournament before he plays the Masters, basically. So the Players would make the most sense.
I mean, the APIs. Maybe.
I think that's too quick a turnaround for him.
I do too. I also do too. The only thing I think, it's got to be someplace in Florida here that's, or maybe the Texas Open, but someplace that's flat. Florida's just flat. So maybe the Valspar if he doesn't play the Players, but I don't know. Because then after that, you've got Corrales. He's not going there.
Not doing that.
He's not in the match play. I don't know if he could get in if he wanted to, but he's not in the top 64 in the world. So, and then you got Texas Open and the Masters. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot of options besides the Players.
Yeah, the Players makes the most sense on paper. At first, I was with you, API would be cool because it's Arnie's tournament and everything.
Right.
But I'm just wondering if that's too quick. The Players gives him a couple weeks, and then gives him a few weeks again before the Masters to kind of rest up and get ready for Augusta. So, I would put the Players on the dot. We'll see how – you're right, though. If he wants to play in the WGC, I bet you we can make a few phone calls. By the way,
I don't know how it works as far as like –
Well, you got Cam Smith can't play probably.
Well, yeah, I mean –
top 64. There's a couple guys that are already getting knocked out.
Right.
If there's ever a sponsor's exemption, I think we found one.
But I just also don't feel like that's a good golf course for him to play. That's fucking hilly
golf course. It's a nasty, nasty course for sure.
And it's match play.
Yeah, that'd be the last year of that, too.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
Dude. It's one of the funnest events of the year. I mean, I don't know. If they move it around or something, you just got to keep match play somewhere. And especially that golf course. That golf course is really, really good in Austin.
Yeah, the Austin Country Club. It's a good time there. So we'll see. But, it was fun seeing Eldrick out there. I liked his pranks with JT. I know some people did not. I thought it was hilarious. It's called having a sense of humor, people. That's all I can say.
I mean, it's bad humor, but it was designed to be funny. I mean, it's like
it was.
That's a very Tiger Woods type joke.
Exactly.
You know,
there's
he's a square.
Zero offense intended behind that.
He's not like the other thing is it's not like he threw it at him so everybody could see it, or open handed gave it to him. Like he slipped. He tried to slip it to him to where nobody would see it. Get over it, man. I mean, it was a bad joke, but.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad joke, but I found it highly entertaining, of course.
I thought it was funny as well.
Anybody that plays golf with their buddies, the ribbing we give each other on a golf course, like,
yeah,
I guess just kind of, you know, what it is. But yeah, and he talked about it, whatever, all that happened. Other stuff, though, Homa almost got it done. Rahm's ridiculous. Cantlay and Morikawa made Sunday runs. Keith Mitchell's on a kind of a tear right now, which is pretty good to see. Any other takeaways? Because like, it was a fun tournament. I didn't get to watch a ton on Sunday. I watched a lot of the replays Sunday night. But I tried to catch as much as I could between live and replays, and I really enjoyed Riviera.
Yeah, I played golf on Sunday. I didn't watch much of it on Saturday. I don't know. Like, to me, Riviera is a good golf course, but just coming off of the Phoenix Open, it's like a bit of a letdown from this the perspective of just the juice that's kind of going through the golf course and how fun it is to watch Phoenix. And then you go to Riviera and you're back to reality of just a normal golf tournament, even though it is elevated. Anyways, John Rahm is a fucking insane dude. I mean, like when he putts well, like nobody can beat him.
Yeah, it's crazy what John Rahm can do, except I didn't message you because I know you saw his off the grandstands, all of a sudden eagle on 17 on Friday. Did you see that?
I did not see that. I saw the hit it into
the parking lot, got a free draw.
Wherever
how
that
the hell
was.
Does that happen?
In the fenced in area over there. Yeah.
How is that a free drop? I'm still confused. Like, there's no justifiable answer, actually, that makes that a free drop to me at all. There's a fence. You went over the fence. That's out of bounds. Like, that's just the way the game works.
In most places, correct. Unless you're on the PGA Tour and they put up fencing inside the golf course.
I started doing the math, and I'm not biased because I had a Homa one and done ticket. But you know, when you go between that one, dude, I'll send you the Twitter feed of 17 on Friday. He pounds the back, and it rolls all the way down the hill within like 5 feet for an eagle putt. If that grandstand ain't there, he's probably a good 7,500 yards off the freaking green.
Yeah, I didn't see the grandstand. I heard about it. Yeah. I didn't see it.
And it's nothing against Rahm. Rahm's great. Rahm was amazing. Rob did crazy things, but man, to be given gifts like that does not hurt. Does not hurt
right.
at all.
Yeah. I mean, but that's also part of golf is getting lucky.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, you know 100%. That just was I did. If you play golf, you know, I play with a guy who gets
I just want grandstands when I play.
Yeah, I play with a guy who gets lucky. Constantly. He had a bad bounce yesterday, and I was very, very surprised that it kicked left into a trap instead of kicking right into the middle of the fairway. You know, luck is just a part of it. Remember Tiger Woods, like, 05 or whatever, when it was the biggest golf game, you know, that on EA Sports or whatever, Tiger Woods, you know, those – that you had a luck factor. You could raise your luck factor. It's just part of golf.
Well, yeah, and I'm making fun of it because even there's luck. Like it was the fourth green that you'd hit it and pray it stayed on the green. Like that's luck. Some guys did amazing shots and you'd hope it would stay on the green.
Yeah.
Once you hit it, there's nothing you could do about it after that.
Par threes there are so tough, man. And Rahm crushed them. And two on the back nine there, especially that putt on 14 was just nuts.
Insane. Yeah. So he earned it. I just like to point out. Like, God damn it. Like,
I know what you're saying.
I just want to know how is you know out of, over a page. Fence. Over a fence. I want a valid explanation from somebody. What the hell that is.
Me and you were on the same exact page, same exact paragraph, same sentence.
That was just mind blowing to me. Like know. I'm gonna start using that when I go play somewhere. Like, oh, right. this fence.
Actually, I think they may during the tournament have a cookout area here, so I'm just gonna take a free draw.
Exactly. Like, I know for a fact that this I'm gonna so just BS my way into something.
Right.
It won't work, but I'll try. before we get to the wonderful Honda Classic, I don't know if you wanted to talk about it. Liv added Peters, Steele, Burmeister, and Danny Lee this weekend. Big names, big hitters. Peters was interesting because he was bitching about not making Riviera, and then like the next day signed with Liv.
So yeah, I mean, it to me, probably they probably knew that or something going into Riviera is why he didn't get into that tournament. But yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, have you seen Phil's team on like the
Steele,
the whatever? They are
Steele, Tringali, and then like Piotr or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the best team.
How the fuck did
you would think being the face of the league, he'd have like the loaded team. Like DJ's got the loaded team.
I don't know. Like Jeff Feinberg mentioned that on Twitter today, and Kevin came back and was like, "You think it has something to do with like who you recruit is who comes onto your team?"
It makes sense if that was the answer, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously I would think that some guys wouldn't sign unless they got on a certain team, and that's pretty obvious with, like, some of the South Africans being on the same team, DJ's team, but, yeah that team is awful.
Yeah, it's like you got Cams with Leash and his buddies, and right. then you got Neiman with Mito, who came over as well. Let's talk Full Swing, because I had a lot of thoughts on this. Sure. So, and trust people, we will get into the Honor Classic. It will not take long. but Full Swing was, I thought, really cool, but also left a lot of disgust isn't the right word, but I was disappointed in what I was hoping for this. So, what were your thoughts on this Full Swing? I know you said you hadn't finished it yet, but so far.
Yeah, I've got through six episodes, and I'm just kind of forcing myself at this point, because the first episode was okay. I thought Joel Dahman's episode was the very best episode.
Yeah, man, seems to be unanimous everywhere because it was actually legit and real.
Right, and you learn some stuff about the guy that you didn't know. Like, the problem with us, like, hardcore golf fans is I knew all this shit. Like, when you're talking about Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas being friends and frenemies, mm-hmm. like, this is not new story to me. The one cool aspect of that is to kind of relive, like, Justin Thomas's win at the PGA Championship, and then they, like, put some cool music to it, and it was a really cool moment. Putting his dad in there was cool. Yeah. But so I've watched the F1. I've watched the tennis one as well. And I will say that I was not a fan of the F1 before watching that. I'm not a fan of tennis. Never watched tennis. Never would watch tennis. But both of those made me watch those particular sports. Not necessarily like all the time, but I just feel like this whole thing is geared toward getting new eyeballs, because we're going to watch it either way, right?
Yeah,
like, we're going to watch the PGA Tour week in, week out.
I'll watch the Honda Classic this weekend if I'm at home.
Right. And most people are not going to watch the Honda Classic. Yes. But that's the point, I feel like, is just to get new eyeballs and get new fans of the game. I know some people who watched the F1 and they, like, got really super hardcore in F1. You know, that did its job. But it's the same aspect of, like, the problem with it is it's not in chronological order. I didn't know this about F1 until I watched F1 and then realized, shit, they're not even running this like they should. And then they just tell certain aspects of certain shit. And it's just, you know, for us hardcore golf fans, it's not what we were wanting. Like, if you gave me 8 episodes of, like, guys like Joel Dahman, new guys mm-hmm. that I don't know, if you did a Corn Fairy, like, Corn what Fairy. I was thinking, dude, have a Corn Fairy type of deal. With, like, the aspect of
the race to the top 25 to get your card. Let's go.
Something along that line. But also, what's the show that they did football originally? Last Chance U.
Hard Knocks.
Right?
Oh,
that's a good Last Chance U. Have you watched Last Chance U?
Yes, that's a good one. Yes.
Great show. And that tells a story from season to, you know, beginning to end. And they could do that with golf, and I would absolutely eat that up. But would most people? Probably not.
Probably not. But see, that's kind of where I was, because at first I'm thinking only golf fans like it. Then when you explained it to me before the show, I'm like, I think you're actually right. It's we just, like, got bored, because towards the end, I'm like on my phone, like doing stuff, listening in the background. And I was like not expecting that, because I was expecting more.
Yes.
It was still well done. Like, I'm not like saying it wasn't. Like, the very last episode with Rory, it was just it was a great Rory fluff piece to show that he's the face for the PGA Tour. It was good. It was cool, but that's all it was. What I would have preferred, and it kind of goes with your same, I want something in chronological order. Like, we have a season of golf. Like, give me a Hard Knocks. Give me a Last Chance U, where it's like, boom, boom, boom. Show me the guys barely making the cut lines. Like, Adam Shank's wife tweeted out, how about next season we stop showing private jets and show the best Radissons in town? Like, stuff like that. I'm like, I'm there for that. Like, show me the dudes eating the continental breakfast before they have to catch their Uber to the freaking golf course. Like, let's do this. Like, I've met caddies at Pebble. They've been playing Golden Tee at Buffalo Wild Wings because four of them are sharing a Motel 6 hotel room.
Right.
Like, show us some of that stuff.
Yes, I agree, like, 100%.
That's what I want to see.
I agree.
I know it's tough. It's a long season. I get it. And, like, you know, we saw the big boys. Maybe this next season you get to see, like, Max Homa's a big boy now, and maybe you get more Max Homa. Maybe you get more of these kind of at least middle guys instead of – I'm with you. Like, give me the guys that – I don't even know. Like the Corn Ferry race to the 25, I think is fun. I think just a Monday Q thing would be amazing. Yep. Guys grinding their ass off to make the Monday qualifiers. Like, let's go. It's tricky. I get it. And they're trying, and they're probably doing pretty well. It's ranked high on Netflix since it's come out. So people are watching it. But I guess my expectations, sounds like yours, I think some others were a little different. I just wish there's, I think the biggest thing for me is chronological. Like, I don't mind that they showcased people. That's cool. Like, showing, I don't need to see JT hoisting the trophy four different times. Like,
right.
We see it so many different times because, oh, well, now Fitz lost it. And now this one lost. I was like, here we go again. I'm just like, okay, I get it. Like, it's cool. You're showing this guy's storyline, but good Lord. We're doing this again. So that was that. It was
they funny went to the watching, Masters like four or five times.
Yeah, it was funny watching Brooks and DJ kind of having their attitudes the way they did. I didn't care. I found it entertaining, but that's who they are. Like, that's exactly who they are. The Brooks thing was interesting, though.
The Brooks was interesting. I will say that much. Yes. Yeah,
that I did appreciate. That's probably one of, outside of the Joel Domino, which everyone loved for obvious reasons. Yeah. Brooks is probably the second one I liked the most because at least it was him being like Brooks. Like, there was no hold bars, like telling you how like messed up in the head he is, how physical messed up he is, like life ain't all fucking roses for Brooks. Mm-hmm. Like, that was interesting to see that aspect of Brooks.
I agree.
So that, and like, I know some people think it's fake. I'm like, I don't think that was fake. He looked pretty freaking
no
like, that was rough.
I mean, when he's talking about like, I can't beat these guys, like I mentally am off. And talking about Scottie Scheffler, what's he thinking about when he hits a golf shot? Nothing. What am I thinking about? All kinds of different things, and that's the difference. Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. I mean, like, he struggled mentally and is still obviously struggling mentally, and that's part of golf. So, yes, I agree 100%. It's like Joel Dahman, number one, Brooks, number two, the rest of them, whatever.
Yeah, it depends. Like, pick your guy. Fitz is cool. Rory was cool, but I don't really care what order you put the rest in. It's almost like the beat reporters got the next biggest kick out. Like, Rappaport's all over the thing. Dylan, whatever his name, was all over it. Yeah. Some of those guys seem like they like the stars of the shows right now. And I'm trying to figure out, that's another aspect I might change going forward. Like, I know you need voices, but I think there's enough dudes out there that could have told you some stuff. Like,
yeah,
seems a little odd there too. So
yeah, there's a lot of.
Get Colt Most on there. At least he's on the course. He's a former golfer. I'll listen to him. Like, there's things you can do.
They have his voice on there just where he's calling golf shots, but I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be cool to include Colt or some people, you know, some of the guys who call.
They should have got Faraday on there since they had all the other live guys. Get Faraday on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me, the only way it's going to be in the future, it's going to be, to me personally, enjoyable to watch is if I get to watch either, you know, like Last Chance U or the Joel Dahman stuff. Otherwise, like, I don't need to know more about Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy. Like,
just give me a whole season following Joel Dahman, Harry Higgs, and a couple other guys. Just them week to week. It's all just them. I don't need the rest of the tour. Just those guys. Just do that. I guarantee you I'll be glued to my TV.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I think Max would be interesting on it too.
Oh, I love Max.
He's got a good personality, man.
People know by now that either follow me on Twitter or listen to this show. Like, Max is probably one of my favorite golfers on the planet. So I would watch anything Max does. He's like a genuine human being that's fun and gets it. Like, I'd be there in 2 seconds with Max.
Yes.
And the thing is, if you follow Joel and Harry, Max would be there. So that's part of the fun in the mix. But yeah, we could probably talk about this a lot and pick a lot of it apart, but we won't do that to you guys. You guys can watch it. We didn't ruin anything. We just kind of gave you our synopsises of the situation. I'm curious because there is going to be a second season. There's apparently already footage getting filmed out there. So I'm curious to see how it goes.
And it'll be the same.
I'm curious how much live footage there is, since technically the live footage came like as the transition happened. Are they actually going to follow the live tour? I don't think so. So I'm kind of curious there.
Yeah, but that would be now that would be a little bit more interesting because there's a live event this week.
Yep. Yep.
Who knew?
I'm in. Yeah. So we'll see. CW, baby. I don't even know if I have that channel, but yeah, I sure as hell like downloading the app. But that's a whole other topic for another day. We burned enough time, I think, on this one. Honda Classic is this week. It's not an elevated event, and you'll know by the field. Very clear. I saw somewhere, I think the last 2 weeks, it was like a $20 million a week purse. This week, it's like $8.5 million I'm like, good Lord, no wonder no one's showing up, because the next two events are elevated events. So that's going to get fun as well. So what do you got for some past event history for this wonderful Honda Classic?
Yeah, obviously we've been playing the PGA National here since 2007. So same golf course, one golf course, which is great. But yeah, this is a little bit of a different deal than the last couple of weeks. We've been spoiled the last couple of weeks. One thing I was going to mention, this would maybe be a great week for a bye. If we had bye weeks on the tour.
Yeah, because I think it's either this week or next week. I think the Puerto Rico Open's happening simultaneously.
I think it's next week,
Next week. So when the API Elevate is happening, we have Puerto Rico going on at the same time. So you might have the same field in Puerto Rico, actually. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. last year, Sepp Straka shot 10 under one shot over Lowry. 2021 was Matt Jones, 12 under, five shots over Brandon Hagee. Sungjae Im won in 2020, 6 under, one shot over Mackenzie Hughes. Keith Mitchell, 2019 champion, 9 under, one shot over Fowler and Brooks Koepka. 2018 was JT. This is obviously when it wasn't such a terrible field. 8 under playoff over Luke List. Ricky Fowler was the champion in 2017. 12 under, four shots over Hoffman and Woodland. Russell Henley won this. I don't think he's in the field. That's really about it as far as probably what needs to be said.
Wasn't the JT year that when he went to a playoff, but before that he was in the bunker and someone yelled something and got him kicked off the course?
Oh, yeah, he got thrown out, yeah.
Yeah, that was that. Okay, I thought so. That was when JT, which is ironic knowing how JT plays golf and with the things he says when he plays golf, that was what set him off.
Right. This is actually a really good tournament typically. Because nobody's going to run away with it. It's difficult. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're going to talk about that.
Pure carnage. Pure carnage, folks. So just don't at me when you go, you said this guy was going to be a great play. I can't help you with what's about to take place here. It's PGA National. Like Jesse said, we've got tons of history here. Lots of golf played here. It's a par 70, 7,100, almost 7,200 yards, give or take. Only two par fives, four par threes. Par threes are very tough. Very tough. The two par fives aren't bad, but the thing with this course is there's water on 15 holes. And it's not just like a little pond. It's a lot of water on 15 holes. Your guys will find the water. If your guy avoids the water, he's probably going to be in the top five. Just going to throw it out there right now.
Yeah.
Because that'll put you way ahead of the game. But the key is like hitting certain approaches for your next shot. I wouldn't say it's a second shot golf course, but it kind of is a second shot golf course. It's a lot of laying up, a lot of dog legs, a lot of avoiding water hazards, lots of bunkers in play. Greens aren't super small, but they're usually very firm. This is Bermuda. We have Bermuda greens everywhere on the Florida swing, so get ready for that. That'll be a discussed topic. The rough won't be super penal, but obviously if you want to hold the greens, you want to be in the fairway so you can spin it. We saw that even at Riviera. The Riviera rough wasn't horrible, but if you were in the rough, you definitely had trouble sticking the greens. That will happen here at Honda as well. And the fairways are narrow, and that's why it's a very accurate course. A lot of like big hitters have won here. It's not a must because it's a layup thing. But if you can be accurate and go deep off the tee, you can still have a much, obviously makes more sense, duh. But it's definitely a bigger advantage here than you'd think. It's riskier, though. So just keep that in mind. But it definitely does come into play. Most approach shots will be from like 150 to 200, give or take. Not a major wedge fest. You could say scrambling will be a factor. But bogey avoidance is huge. That's one thing I'll say. But you'll get the bear trap. It's holes 15 through 17, par 3, par 4, par 3. Both par threes are ridiculous, and the par four is a nasty dogleg par four, and it makes for the closing setup here to just be pure. Well, I'm going to say carnage a lot. There's carnage can be everywhere, but the bear trap is nasty, like nasty, nasty. So be ready for that. I think I read today it's the fourth hardest three-hole stretch in golf last year, outside of some of the really key ones like at the Memorial, or the bear trap, and all that kind of stuff. So I'll leave it at that, but it's a shotmaker's course. It's be as accurate as possible, and it's just pray you avoid the water. That's the key. Just pray, because your guy will, and it's going to be nasty. But as Jesse said, the winning scores are very low, and the natural cut line is always over par. So you're not out of it right away. Just avoid as many tens as possible.
All right.
So what do you got here, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar. You know, you're obviously going to want to hit fairways, greens, if possible, bogey avoidance. Like you said, plenty of course history, and that's what I pretty much go off of.
Yeah, it's going to be a doozy, to say the least. You want to know how good this field is, Jesse? We have two guys over 10K.
Yeah.
Sungjae Im at 10.7, who's won here 2 years ago. And then Shane Lowry at 10-4, who's played well here, is also. What do you got on these two?
Yeah, I mean, you can go with either one, obviously. I don't know that I'll play either guy. This is a week where I will scale back a little bit just because of the predictability. Golf predictability is low to begin with, and then you add in a shit ton of water, it becomes even lower. So just keep that in mind. But for me, it's Lowry just because of the course history. Hasn't missed a cut here since 2016. Finished second here last year, coming off of 14th last week. Missed two cuts in a row before that, but that's who I would plant my flag with if I'm forced to choose one of these two up top.
Yeah, I like them both. I'm going to go Sungjae. I don't care either way which one you want to pick. Last week's 56, he fell apart on the weekends, playing really, really good golf. Sixth at Phoenix, fourth at Farmers, 18th at the Amex. Obviously won here a couple years ago. I will say this much, though. If he's going to be chalky on Wednesday, I will not play Sungjae. I'm going to – on such a carnage course, some chalk will be good chalk. I'm not going to – I'd rather have a chalky Lowry than a chalky M, let's put it that way, if I had to pick between the two. But if I have to pick between the two like I am, I'm taking Sungjae here. But I think it's because he comes in lower owned at 10-7 because no one wants to play 6K guys this week. Just going to throw that out there. So that could be an option. And we could just start the 9K range where we like to start anyways. And you got Chris Kirk at 99, Billy Ho at 97. And I don't know if you know, Billy Ho apparently lives at the golf course. If you haven't heard that yet, just letting y'all know that.
I'm blocked on Twitter.
Alexander, no, that's right. Alexander Norton at 95. Minwoo Lee, the talk of the town these days at 94. Matt Kuchar at 93. Aaron Wise, 92. Denny McCarthy, 91. And Tomas Dietry at 9,000. I can definitely see myself starting here with a couple guys.
Yeah, there's some playable names here. Minwoo Lee is going to be massive chalk.
I've heard him mentioned many places. Everyone's taking him in outright just because he's a European stud and all these things. I have no stats on him because Fantasy National has no European stats.
It's odd because he's been playing on the European Tour, but he hasn't played since his one start this year. That was at the end of January at the Dubai Desert Classic where he finished 13th, finished 12th back in November and 9th and third back in, you know, last fall, but not been playing a lot. So it never played here. You know, he's a guy that I would probably avoid if he's going to be, you know, very chalky. Kuchar, I guess it's time to go back, man. I mean, you know, eighth place last week, 32nd the week before that, and 3 of 3 made cuts here. He hasn't played here since 2011, but worst finish was 43rd back in 2008, finished 17th here in 2011. So Kuchar seems to be rounded in the form. Denny McCarthy made his last two cuts here, finished third here back in 21, and coming off a 14th place finish at the Genesis. He did miss the cut at the Phoenix Open, but had a bunch of cuts in a row made before that. So and then Dietry, yeah, 9,000 from a stats perspective. He lines up well. He hasn't missed a cut since the Dutch Open back in May of 2022. But he's never played here either. And driving accuracy is, you know, last week was not great. Hit 50% of the fairways. And it's similar type of driving this week as far as you really need to keep it in play. So in the fairway. But yeah, those would be the guys that I'm focused on here. Again, Minwoo Lee. I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns there. So if he's going to be chalk, you know.
I'm going to keep an eye on that number because I've heard his name mentioned a ton. I don't even know much about him. I've heard his name, obviously. I've seen things on him, but
didn't he play pretty well at the Masters last year?
I can click on his name here.
He finished 14th at the Masters.
Yeah.
Which was sandwiched in between four straight missed cuts and then three straight missed cuts after that.
Yeah, basically, yeah, in 22, let's just see, miscut at Pebble, miscut at Genesis, missed API, missed Nationwide, missed the KFT Championship, Valero miscut, 14th the Masters, missed the PGA, missed the Charles Schwab, missed the Memorial, 27th at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, the U.S. Open.
And then 21st the Open. So all three majors, T27 or better.
That's crazy. And then missed the cut at, like,
all the baby courses, basically.
He did miss the cut at the PGA Championship. But otherwise, I mean, that's pretty good fucking year.
Yeah,
for anybody.
Yeah, like if you're gonna make only three cuts, you want to make those three pretty much,
right?
That's pretty impressive. Crazy, maybe, man. That's the hype. It's like, okay, crappy field, tough course, let's see what he can do. I don't know.
Right, I mean, it could be. Yeah,
like the dude's talented. I'm not gonna say he's not. Like, I've heard he's done pretty well on the Euro Tour. I don't follow the Euro Tour nearly enough, but I know he's won over there. So I think there's something to that. It's just like recent form, and we saw what he did in the majors, and here we go. Basically, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm just not gonna play him. He's chalky.
I'm with you.
Like, I'd rather pivot to Alexander Noren at 95. He's coming off back-to-back missed cuts, which is terrifying. But when you talk about course history, 5th, 46, missed cut 3rd in his last 4 appearances here. So he's a tournament play for sure. If Lee's popular, and I think Kuchar will be popular too, but I don't mind Kuch for what you mentioned. The guys I like, I love Denny McCarthy at $9,100. We saw when he was in the 9Ks at Pebble, everyone's like, I don't want to play him, I don't want to play him. And what's he do? He freaking almost wins the darn thing. He's priced up in this field for this talent level for a reason. You mentioned the form he's coming in with, 14th missed cut, 4th in his last 3 tournaments, and how he's played here, which is very, very strong his last 2 years. I got no problem with Denny McCarthy, and I love Tomas Dietrich, 16th in my model. He's 1st in par 4s over the last 24 rounds in this field, 1st in bogey avoidance, and 5th in driving distance. If you care about those stats, driving accuracy, like you mentioned, could be another problem. But every course is new to him right now. He's from the Euro Tour, and he's been coming over. He can make a ton of birdies, and if he can avoid just enough of the bogeys, he's interesting. So he's a DK scorer type guy. So I like him at 9,000. I could see myself starting out with Dietrich and McCarthy, Dietrich and, you know, Kuch or something in this range and going from there and being a little more balanced potentially this week and still having guys that can win, because a lot of the guys Jesse mentioned were long shot guys in years past. So keep that in mind as well. 8K range, you got Pendrith at 89, Post in 88, Svensson 87. He's probably going to be popular. Vegas 86, Straka 85, English 84, Maronk 83, Seabass 82, Cam Davis, who's broken, at 81, and Garrett Higo at 8,000. So what do you got in this range?
Yeah, Pendrith, he's number one in my model. 25th here last year, coming off 3 straight made cuts. Did miss the cut to American Express, but made a shit ton of cuts back in the fall and then the summer of last year. So I think Pendrith at 89 is a good spot, is a good play there. Vegas at 86. He hasn't missed a cut here since 2015. His best finish is 4th in 2017. Finished 42nd here last year and has just been playing. I mean, for me and Johnny, in my mind, the history of Johnny Vegas, he's been playing out of his mind with 3 straight made cuts, including 2 top 25s in there. Harris English, 8,400. You know, I was touting him earlier in the year, and he missed 3 straight cuts, and I completely just ignore him at the Genesis. Finishes 12th. Shoots 65 on Sunday. So that's frustrating for me personally, but at this golf course, he's made 4 straight cuts and has 2 consecutive top 20s, which 2020, 2019, so hasn't played in the last couple of years. Maronk, don't know much about this guy, but the model tends to like him. He did play last week. He finished 45th. He mostly plays the European Tour.
He's
a European
stud. He's been playing really. I at least know who he is. He's been playing really well.
Do you? Because I don't know who he is. That's the first time.
He's a Mayo guy.
I'm going to play Cam Davis this week.
You are?
Yeah. 3 for 3 made cuts here, which you wouldn't think like Cam Davis would be successful at a golf course like this, but 2021, he finished 33rd, 8th in 2020, and 59th in 2019. Like you said, it's 3 straight missed cuts. He's had some high numbers there. 77 at the Genesis on Friday or Thursday. 79 at the Farmers Insurance Open on Friday or Thursday. It's not great, but I feel like it's worth the gamble here to just lean on course history and hopefully get some lower ownership there. And then Higo, 66 here last year, made the cut, coming off a missed cut at the Phoenix Open. But I think he missed it right on the number and had 3 straight cuts, made cuts before that. So there's some guys to play in here. It's just, you know, it's a GPP week. We're not doing cash game shit this week.
Guys, this is nasty for cash. I'm with you on Pendrith. He's interested in me. Driving distance is huge. If you proximity 175 to 200, if you want the long iron game, he's 2nd in this field. And you mentioned his past history at this event, 25th last year. So I'm on board with that. Svensson, 9th here last year, 59th in 2019, coming in really good form. I've been playing Svensson a lot this season anyways, but T9th last week at the Genesis after back-to-back missed cuts. Like to see that come in here. And I'm 100% with you on Vegas, the way two T25s are better in his last three straight made cuts, like you mentioned. And his course history here is probably one of the best in this field. So I'm on all three of those guys with you. English, I have checked off as a guy if I need a pivot, for sure. And the last guy I'm going to mention here is Seabez. I'm a Seabez fan. You're 25th here last year. Form wasn't great recently, but he finished 58th over the weekend. He was playing Saturday with Eldrick, and it might have got to him a bit. We'll see. Miscut at the Phoenix, but 11th at the Amex. I don't mind Seabez when he's on. He's a phenomenal iron player. When he's off, we've seen how off it gets. So we'll see how it goes. But $8,200, I don't mind a little Seabez as well, especially not having to get a ton of birdies, hopefully, to make this week happen. 75 to 79, you got Griffin, Rogers, Jaeger, Shelton, Rye, Hodges, Binion, Sue, Buckley, Hardy, Gordon, and Bramlett. What do you like in here?
Start with Ben Griffin. He's never played here, coming off a miscut at AT&T at Pebble Beach. But before that was 31st, 32nd, 12th. Shelton at 78, miscut here in 2021, finished 11th here in 2020, and is coming off as three consecutive made cuts, including the 20th at the at Pebble Beach. Aaron Rye, 7,700, 66th here last year. Love Aaron Rye this week. He made the cut last week, made the cut at Phoenix. He's been playing in these elevated events. So, you know, it's not like he hasn't been playing, and he's been making the cut. So I like him quite a bit at 7,700 in this field. Absolutely love that price. Lee Hodges at 7,700, finished 9th here last year, coming off an 18th place finish last week. Ben On at 7,600, three of four made cuts, including a fourth place finish here in 2020. Did miss the cuts last time here in 2021, but has made four consecutive cuts on tour. A lot of these guys are the same guys that we had talked about prior to the Phoenix Open. Justin Justin has not missed a cut since the Sanderson's Farm back in the fall, has been playing solid golf, played at the Genesis, finished 40th. He's never played here, but I like him. Bramlett, 7,500. Stats perspective, he lines up pretty well, just hasn't had the success at this golf tournament. He's 2 of 2 miscuts, but coming off a 7th place finish at Pebble. And then last but not least, Will Gordon, 36th here in 2021. Now, he has miscut WD, but it's 7,500. I mean, I think he's worth a gamble in this field.
So I'm going to give you guys a little behind the peaks of this model, and God knows it's probably not the most accurate model in the world, but just this is what I go off of. So in this range, I have five of my top eight golfers in my model, and all but two of them from 75 to 700 bucks are 28th or better in my model. So
I mean, it's the same for me. Yeah, that's why I checked a bunch of them off.
Yeah, I have a bunch checked off too. Oh, and let's say P-Raj, he's out, so he doesn't even count. He's 14th in my model.
He was chalky last week. We didn't even mention that.
And he withdrew this week already.
Your boy.
Yeah, I am playing because he was chalky. That's why I will never play a chalky Patrick Rogers ever.
I'm surprised he was 25% owned someplace.
I don't understand why people went like that. I know there's course history, but good Lord, it's Patrick Rogers, people. What are we doing? He's always GPP only, and that's because of ownership usually. Right. So for me, love Ben Griffin, 5th in my model, 2nd in the par fours over the last 24 rounds, 5th in bogey avoidance. We've talked about what he's done of late and the tours here. First time playing here, of course. And was playing some really strong golf for that miscut at the Pebble Beach a couple weeks off. Go back to him. I have Steven Jaeger. I'll go back to Jaeger bombs over and over again. Back-to-back made cuts here, 48th last year, and he's been coming in really good form outside the miscut at the Phoenix, 40th last week at the Genesis, which is pretty darn good for Mr. Jaeger bombs. You mentioned Aaron Rye. Robbie Shelton is 19th amount. Rye's 3rd in my model, so big fan of him as well. Lee Hodges is 8th in my model. Big fan of him. Binion, everybody loves Binion this week, and he's got the amazing course history. And then Hayden Buckley at 76. He's 11th in my model. He's first off the tee, 3rd in par 4 scoring, top 20 in proximities and bogey avoidance. I think he's pretty interesting to me this week. Miscut last week, but 29th the Phoenix. Miscut the Farmers, 2nd at the Sony. So he's a good tournament play that when he makes the cut, he's going to probably score you a boatload of points. Miscut here last year, 69th in 2020. So form-wise, I don't mind Buck. And then you mentioned Gordon, 7th in my model. Like him a ton as well. And number one in my model is Joseph Bramlett. So this is just the kind of week we're having here. He's seventh in scrambling, fifth in par fours, sixth in bogey avoidance, top 20 in proximities and driving distance and approach and off the tees. Just rates really, really well, which is terrifying. Seventh at the Pebble Beach, 13th at Farmers, 54th at Amex, 54th at Sony. So he's making cuts, which is great to see. He's 0 for 2 here at making cuts. So if you want course history, that's your dude. But current form, he's really playing some good golf. So keep him in mind if you so choose. But yeah, it's a ridiculously weirdly rated out well range is what I'm going to say. So yeah, it'll make things interesting this week. Not so much this range, though. 7K to 7,400 bucks. Who you like in here?
No, we really fall off a cliff here. Mm-hmm. SH Kim at 7,400. Never played here, but three straight made cuts for him on tour. Harry Hall at 7,100. Never played here. Finished 34th at Pebble. Missed cut before that, 41st. So I think he's okay at 7,100. And then Schwab at 7,000. Seventh here last year, coming off a made cut here at the Genesis last week, where he finished 50th and never broke 70. But either way, for the price, I mean, you're getting the dude who finished seventh here last year. And coming in last year to this event, it looks like, yeah, I mean, he was playing better, but not like nothing crazy. So, I mean, yeah, that's it. It's three guys.
Yeah, for me, I got SH Kim as well. He's 29th in my model, 9th in par fours. I think he's a very intriguing play for what you mentioned, 33rd, 41st, 20th, his last three, missed cut 12th. So I think SH Kim really rates out well. Danny Willett, 18th last week, 41st at the Pebble Beach, made the cut here last year. So he's another guy at 74 if you need him. You didn't say your boy EVR?
I can't deal with him.
16th in my model. It just terrifies the shit out of me. I'm not even going to like sugarcoat it, folks. 60th and 21, missed cut and 20. Those are his last two times here. 50th at the Phoenix, miscut at Pebble, 6th at AMX. Yeah, I can't do it. Let's just call it Charlie Hoffman's 4th on my model, 14th at Phoenix, 48th at Pebble. To make sense out of Charlie, at least we've seen him play well before, and maybe he's right, getting healthy again. So I get like maybe checks the boxes a little more. EVR just terrifies me, but Charlie, he's 4th on my model. Adam Shank, if you're just going off of tournament history, miscut 38th, miscut 30th, 29th. That sounds like a GPP play to me. I'm just going to put that one out there. And he's made four straight cuts on tour, including the 23rd and 20th. He's made five of his last six. So he's making cuts. And when he makes the cut here, he plays very, very well. I feel like this is the course he was caught fishing in one of his first big breaks. It feels like to me. I can't remember with Shank. Other than that, you know, Adam Long, Ben Taylor is one I like. He's 13th on model. Ben Taylor would be a guy I like for sure. Other than that, there's a couple darts here, but I'm not going to name them all. Like, I'll have, if I go deep in lineups, I'll go crazy, but I'm kind of going to cut it back. The one I think for tournaments, though, Harry Higgs at 7K, I'll take a gamble on Harry Higgs at 7K. Not just because I like the guy, but he's made three straight cuts, 48th, 44th, 18th. And recent history here, missed cut at the 19th and a 58th. So he's played at least a T20 here at 7K. I don't mind Harry Higgs if you need a little bit of a discount play. 6K, what do you like?
There's a few down here. Eric Cole at 6,900, never played here, but coming off a made cut at Pebble where he finished 15th. Kadira, course history is not great. Three or four missed cuts here. Did finish 36th here in 2021, but two consecutive made cuts on tour, Pebble and Farmers. Dylan Wu at 66, finished 30th here last year, 29th at Pebble. Tano Goya. Three consecutive made cuts for him. He was close to the lead shot 79
on Saturday. Yeah. He was in that final pairing on Saturday.
Shot 79, 76 over the weekend once he got in contention. So I think he's fine. Paul Haley the second, not the first. Don't get him twisted.
Are you watching The Crown or playing golf?
It's fucking Honda Classic, man.
If you guys want to see Jesse's face, please go to the YouTube.
Paul Haley the second. Three consecutive made cuts for that guy on tour. And last but not least, if you I got this great lineup and, you know, $6,000 is left and I have to choose somebody, I would choose Andrew Cozon. He's 414th in the world, has one start in the last year, and it was at the Honda Classic where he finished 30th last year.
Look at you. That's a good nugget right there.
I'm assuming he's got some kind of exemption in this year, and maybe Monday qualified last year, and he probably plays like the Florida Mini Tours. But either way, $6,000. There you go.
I don't hate that. That's a good call. That's really interesting. A couple I got checked off. Eric Cole, I have as well. Kramer Hickok at 69. He was playing well last week. He finished 29th in the Genesis. He was paired with Tiger on Sunday, I believe. Rough form coming into that. So keep that in mind with Hickok. And he missed a guy here last year, but in 21st and 30th his previous 2 years. I'm going to keep playing Kevin Tway because he keeps paying for me. He's missed four straight cuts here. So keep that in mind. He might be a water hazard machine. He's come with 40th last week, 32nd, missed cut, 18th, 54th, 54th. He was like $6,200 last week. He's 69 now, still 27th in my model. He's playing really good golf. So he's intriguing. I got Kadira at 67. Dylan Wu played really well here last year. If you want to follow that trend at 6,600, he finished 29th at Pebble as well, missed cut, 32nd at the Amex. So Dylan Wu could be a dude for you. Brent Grant at $6,400 is someone I would take a peek at. He 20th at Pebble, 25th at Farmers in his last two events, missed cuts prior to that. And I don't believe he's ever played here. Yeah, he's never played here before, so watch out for that. But recent form, back-to-back like T25s aren't bad. So those would be a couple guys I'd look at in the 6K range. All right, recapping, 10K and above, you still got Lowry?
Lowry.
Yeah, I'll take him. 9K range.
Denny McCarthy.
You bastard. I'll go with Tomas Dietrich then. 8K range.
Pendrith.
Svensson for me. 75 to 79.
Aaron Rye.
Apparently, I have to go with my number one ranked guy, so give me Joseph Bramlett. 7K to 74.
Schwab.
I'm going to go with S.H. Kim and then 6K range.
Eric Cole.
Yeah, that's the play if you're going to do that. But I'll be a little different here. Give me some Dylan Wu at 6,600 to save a few shekels. If you're starting out a GPP lineup, Jesse, who are three players you look to target?
I like Cam Davis, Aaron Rye, and Bramlett.
I'm going to go with Denny McCarthy, Tomas Dietrich, and S.H. Kim. That's where I'd start my party. And then the fun part of the week, who you got winning this thing? Because, you know, Sungjae is at plus 900 right now. Lowry at plus 1,400. And then it gets dicey.
Yeah, Bramlett, 55. English at 30. Horschel at 30. Both guys have won previously on the PGA Tour. So this is rough. But, like, last year wasn't Straka like 100.
Yep. And the year Keith Mitchell won, he was plus 300.
So
long shots win here.
Yeah.
Because of the carnage. Stay out of the water.
What's Eric Cole?
Eric, oh, here we go. Eric Cole is 20,000.
200.
Yeah, plus 200 to 1, basically. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah.
Take a T20 on that.
If you hit this pre-tournament, I got a lot of respect for you.
Yeah. Yeah, your boy Aaron Rye is at 65.
65 is not terrible.
That's interesting for your boy. Yeah, just kind of scrolling through here. Not a lot I'm in love with when you go deeper and deeper and deeper into this. But like Austin Eckroat, he's here. That's interesting. Matthias Schwab, they can take Danny Lee off the board. He just went to live. Yeah, this is brutal. I'd stick in like Denny McCarthy at 22. Sounds horrible to bet, but I don't hate it. I'll say that much. Vincent at 30, I like. That's one I could look at. Johnny Vegas at 35, he's won before. So that's a course history's great here. We'll see. Going to be fun
for Johnny Vegas at 35. I had a buddy who told me he bets Vincent at 30 to 1 and 33 to 1 and really thought about what he was doing with his life at that moment.
It is an eye-opening thing. There is no doubt about that. But so is playing DFS for the Honda Classic. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. And I'm with you. I'm debating anywhere between 1 to 4 lineups instead of 20 this week. We'll see. Might just single entry it and walk away and wait till API.
That's probably what I'll end up doing.
kind of see how things go. But at the same time, when I see this much volatility, it's almost like I want to do 20 max to spread.
I agree with you to a certain extent, but it's like the lotto, man. I mean,
which I've never won, so that's why we're still doing this.
We would still do it if you won the lotto.
Oh, I know we would, but we'd do it from like
we just have a studio. We'd fly me out every week. Yeah,
we'd be doing a lot more cool shit like that. Yes, yeah. Be a different story.
For sure.
But we'll see how it goes. And more importantly, we'll be back to you guys next week for the API. I actually like the Puerto Rico, but it's usually not opposite a tournament like the API, so that kind of makes it a little bit of a bummer. But we'll see how that goes. But any final thoughts for the week?
I don't. Good luck.
Good luck. Hope you guys enjoy Full Swing. We didn't ruin it for you because it is good. It is good. I want to clarify that. But was
if you're not a hardcore golf fan, you'll enjoy it.
Yes. It was quality stuff. I just had high expectations. I guarantee if they did the same thing for baseball, I'd have the same feelings.
You would.
Just going to put that out there. So
100%.
We'll check all that out and much, much more. Make sure you follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I am at BDentric. We'll be back to you guys next week. This was your Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast for the 2023 Honda Classic. Catch you guys next time.